On a recent Saturday, a Boston walking tour group arrived on Beacon Hill near the State House. One of the tour's leaders, Tony Grima, read part of a Massachusetts law written in 1695.
And be it further enacted by the authority aforesaid, that if any man shall wear women's apparel, or if any woman shall wear men's apparel, and be thereof convicted, they shall be corporally punished or fined, not exceeding £5.
The tour is part of the History Project, a community-run archive that's collecting untold stories of Boston's LGBTQ history. WBUR's Amelia Mason brings us one of the tour's hidden tales.
In 1921, a man named John Hathaway was arrested on State Street on charges of attempted auto theft. Here's the History Project's Joan Alacqua.
Police officers soon found out that John was, in fact, a female named Ethel Kimball. Ethel had spent the previous 2 years masquerading as a wealthy widower and graduate of MIT. And during that time, even married Louise Aeschler of Somerville.
At some point, Ethel Kimball began living as a man. John Hathaway was just one of the names he adopted. Ethel racked up an impressive rap sheet during his time in Boston. And the threat of being discovered did not seem to dampen his appetite for a good con. Very often, his identity would be revealed after he was detained for some petty crime, like forging a check or using an assumed name. Once, he convinced a Back Bay car salesman to drive him and his friends all over the city, before it became clear he had no intention of buying a car.
It's literally like every 2 years, Ethel's found out and arrested.
"Girl bridegroom jailed," cried a headline in the New York Times in 1924, when Ethel was turned in to the authorities by the nephew of his second wife. An earlier Times article described Ethel as thin-faced, bespectacled, aquiline-nosed, with a voice that resembles a man's. He was locked up numerous times throughout his life, in jails and psychiatric institutions, but never for long.
Ethel is incredibly unsavory. Like, committed a lot of crimes. But that's how we know of his existence, because he was doing these things and getting caught and being talked about, and so examples of this life are saved.
Back then, there was no widely accepted understanding of transgender identity. I ask Joan Alacqua, did Ethel see himself as a man? Or did assuming a male identity simply allow Ethel to live a certain life, marrying women, inventing identities, swiping cars? Alacqua says that although Ethel appeared to understand himself as a man, it's hard to know for sure.
There aren't that many examples of those people talking about their own experiences.
Right.
Which becomes, especially with LGBTQ history, you can find examples of people who are arrested, people who are punished, people who have records created by other people talking about them, and you don't necessarily know what they thought about themselves.
Ethel's story is not entirely unique. Folklore abounds with tales of women disguising themselves as bandits or sailors in order to abscond with jewels in men's hearts. But the historical record is more dire. Very often, such stories ended in tragedy, state-sanctioned violence, death. But there's no evidence of a grim end for Ethel, no untimely demise. According to Joan Alacqua, at some point, Ethel just fades away, like ink on an old newspaper clipping. All that's left are the traces of his run-ins with the law. And so, Ethel remains alive, ever the audacious scoundrel, forging checks and seducing women, always on the take. As the history tour continues down the hill through Boston Common, I imagine Ethel strolling the same paths, taking in the sunshine, cooking up his next scheme, still, for the moment, free. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Amelia Mason.
Thank you.